about Ross and Patrick.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, who cares?
They obviously care about themselves, but who else do they care about?
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe we'll have a guest or two.
The world's going up in flames, so, like, who cares?
Who cares?
We care.
Gross.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the third episode of Who Cares About Ross and Patrick?
It is episode three. and we're going to just get in those eardrums on this one. You got to... I've never heard your voice go that high.
It's capable. I can Mariah Carey this bitch.
A lot of people say you have a deep voice for a gal. Wow, that was perfect pitch.
Thank you.
Mariah, you on fire.
And you would know perfect pitch too, because you're a good singer. You're kind of known for...
That night they brought old Dixie down. Is that how that song goes?
That's fresh in our heads, because why? Because
we were on date night, driving through Williamsburg, listening to Spotify. That's a good song.
Welcome to our couple's hits, yep. 2017.
Yeah, that's what everybody's going to get in their Christmas newsletters, a couple's hits 2017 CD from Ross and Patrick.
And it's literally, they're not even songs, they're more like sound bites.
They're riffs.
They're riffs.
They're genius riffs. They're
genius.
Melodies. They're melodies.
Why do you say genius?
You don't think the music we make together is genius?
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't like a term that you were throwing around.
Genius
like,
riffs. Like, that's what we were going to call this podcast.
Like wireless lobs.
Yeah, I said wireless lobs to you before and you nearly had a conniption.
I was like, you know how I feel about all this.
You're like, oh, what is a lob?
I'm like, here he goes and with I was like, fucking production terms.
A lavalier is a French word for lavalier, for clip-on microphone.
It's a French, lavalier is a French term for a lavalier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had date night tonight. We went to see Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of the movie?
I believe so. The full name, yeah.
And we got full bitch on wheels from Frances McDormand.
Oh my God.
You were just like having a religious experience watching
her.
I
really was. I loved her so much.
She's on fire.
She's just like, she don't give a fuck.
No.
And she's wearing like my favorite outfit that I basically wear, I don't know, like 50% of the time.
Yeah, I've seen you wear that uniform in like three different modes.
Yeah.
You know, like sporty, blue collar workwear, and then sexy.
Oh.
Sometimes you dress it up, dress it down, accessorize.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. She had my fucking...
Buzz cut,
like hat undercut.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real hipster wet dream, but Frances McDormand.
Yeah, let it be known that Ross got her hair cut into a buzz cut, undercut. And was that Montauk? You were on a shoot. No, you were in North Carolina?
No, it was before I went to France. I was here on a shoot, but I was with like people that I do work with
and
on those shoots.
Let's say that was beginning of November, mid-October?
Beginning of October.
Yeah, you had the buzz cut, and what you're predicting now is that everybody's going to have this cut.
Oh, no. I am a total follower.
Oh, okay.
That's already been popular. It was my 26-year-old assistant who had it and was like rocking it on set with me. And I knew that she was like down with me, so she wasn't going to be like weirded out by the fact that I was like, inspo, I'm going to do it too. And she was fully encouraging me.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I've been looking at your fucking undercut all week. I need to change. Let's go.
I'll take template 3 of hipster haircut,
please.
That's
right.
Thank you.
The 26-year-old model, but actually this is the 35-year-old model.
Yeah.
We decided because her 26-year-old model like came above her ears. It was a bit more dykey.
Well, then you got bangs.
And then, I mean, here we are today.
I got bangs. That's a callback to Kroll's show, Les.
Just to give everybody...
Well, people should know what our brand is. We love Kroll Show.
God, I miss that show.
We miss Kroll Show.
I miss publicity.
They're taking it off the air. What? What?
Your what is so good.
But I'm Les.
Your version is much better because you are actually a man doing a woman's voice like Nick Kroll. Mm. I can't quite capture the essence.
What?
No, I can't do it either.
No, that was really good.
Anyway, we had date night. We had date night. We fell in love with Frances McDormand again. We all did back during Fargo, didn't we?
We've fallen in love with her time and time again.
Time and time again, Frances.
What? What?
You had a trip. We're going to get to your trip. You came back from a trip the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this whole episode is. We've got a great episode for you.
Ooh.
We Got two funny gals talking and clucking it up in the hen house.
Talking about cancer.
Cancer, baby.
It's a real light episode.
Yeah, it's a light episode. You were out there. I've just been having the busiest couple weeks of my life.
I got of your life?
It's things are busy, hon.
They are busy, but that just feels like a big statement.
Why do I feel the weight?
I don't know.
Why am I not going to sleep tonight? Because I'm scared. I'm going on a bus tomorrow to give tours to tourists.
You're not
going to
sleep?
My second day on the job. I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this script, the facts and the stats. Mm. And am I even funny?
Oh, God. See, this is, yeah, this is your tailspin.
How can I be funny and entertaining if I don't know the script?
Well, that is a good question, but I think really what it's about is not putting so much pressure on yourself to be funny when you're brand new to this particular gig. Yeah. So it's not that you are not a funny person. It's just that this is a new gig and it's going to take a little while for you to feel loose and like you can sort of stretch your comedic wings, as it were.
Yeah, it's just three tours tomorrow. So it's about 6 hours of work. And once it's over, it's over. And then,
and you'll have more where you can also, excuse me, I burped. Or as Birdie says, who you'll find out who Birdie is, I burped.
She has a syllable. She really sounds it out.
She does. She looks here. She goes, I burp it.
Sometimes a burp isn't just a burp. And it is a burp it. You know,
it
it's like
burp-ed.
Real liquidy and gassy. All it's right. Got extra chunk to it.
Chunk?
It's a, hey, I'm just genius riffing here, babe.
I don't know how I feel about the catchphrase genius riffing.
I'm saying it to make fun of myself because I know it's not genius riffing.
Jokes, comedy.
I got a new job where I'm supposed to be funny on a bus and I don't even know if I want the job and it's my second day tomorrow.
Give a little more context. Not just like,
I don't know.
Not just like on a public school bus.
It's a
like,
tour bus. It's tourists. They're looking out the window. I'm peeking out the window. I'm pointing stuff out. I'm talking about tallest buildings in Manhattan versus Dubai, and I'm pointing out Bryant Park. I'm talking about the public library
system.
Which
really is, this is your time to shine, quite honestly.
I love giving a tour.
You love giving a tour. You love, like, giving information.
I love to laugh.
You love to laugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're gonna be great. You're probably gonna be much better than you even think you're gonna be, just because naturally you'll be good at that sort of thing.
I do tend to care about doing a good job.
Maybe a bit too much, so then it actually impairs you. I think you always probably do a good job, but it impairs you from seeing you've done a good job and that it's like not that serious.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess I'm just setting up that I've just been feeling busy. I've been feeling pressure with this new job. I'm juggling video production work. I'm juggling lots of different comedy shows I'm producing. I put a lot of pressure on myself for those things. Most of the real work I do in my life, like the hard work I do, is for zero money. In fact, I lose money on these comedy shows. So I'm just like in my head about all this stuff. And then we come upon a beautiful human like Dolores, who's going through real trouble in her life. And I'm like, you know what? I am just a whiny person.
Well, but we can't go down that path though, because it's like that's your experience, and like just because Dolores has cancer, by the way, Dolores has cancer, doesn't mean that like, oh, then all of a sudden everything you're experiencing is like pointless and invalid. And she would be the first to tell you that too.
Yeah, I'll call her up. I'll see if she's got a minute to give me a pep talk.
I'm sure she would love it, actually.
Anyway, you went out there. You were in Phoenix, Tempe.
I was in Tempe, yeah.
Last weekend.
I flew into Phoenix, but that was the only time I spent in Phoenix.
They're like sister cities. They're close.
They're sister cities, but it does seem like you're in Tempe, you're in Tempe. Tempe.
Yeah, there's the hills and the college there. We had that brunch. That was Easter Sunday, wasn't it? Or that was Mother's Day. We had brunch.
It was?
Down by the college. Yeah, that was Mother's Day.
I don't remember. But
we had quite a summer after that. Tune in, everybody. Maybe we'll get to it one day. I love dropping these teasers.
Oh, the tease.
Anyway.
They call him the Tease Holbert.
Yeah, Tease Holbert, everybody.
Or Betty the Tease Holbert.
Anyway, do you want to set up our listeners for what you did out
there?
Hey,
listeners, keep tuning in. Today we have coming up on the podcast, me interviewing my dear sweet sister from another mister, Dolores Turnbow. She's one of my best friends, but I always say her name twice like mm-hmm. that because I don't actually know if it's Turnbow or Turnbow.
Yeah,
I think it's Turnbow.
I think it's bow and arrow or like the bow of a ship.
I think it's Turnbow.
Okay.
Yeah, I visited her and her lovely family this weekend. And while the rest of the family was out of the house, not causing a ruckus, we plopped down and had a great conversation about just living your life, even when you're battling cancer, and mm-hmm. that it's, you know, she's got other things going on besides cancer. Turns out cancer is not as much of an emergency as one might think.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just like keep going about your life. But she's like a ray of friggin' sunshine,
mm-hmm.
sharing her story with the masses. And this is our chat together.
Yeah, check it out, everybody.
So here we are. Who cares about Ross and Patrick, but it's really who cares about Ross and Dolores.
Everybody cares about Dolores.
I mean,
my GoFundMe said so.
She has cancer.
I got the cancer.
and I'm in Arizona by myself without Patrick visiting my dear sweet D. And Patrick was like, why don't you have a conversation with Dolores? Because, like, she's so funny and, like, you guys are so funny and, like, oh, my God.
It all makes sense.
And she has already been a part of the Who Cares family. So we just thought we would check in and be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? What's new? A lot has transpired.
Still cancer.
I feel like the Who Cares we did with you was like very light and jovial. And it was like cancer, no big deal. And then it was like things got a little hard and like a little more serious.
Well, I used to like joke it was just like a pinch of cancer.
Right.
Which
turns out it's not a pinch.
Turns out your grandmother's salt pinch, you mm-hmm. know, like it's a larger pinch.
She's overseasoned.
So, it wasn't as easy to get rid of as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because I guess stage 3 is not medically pinch defined.
As it turns out. You know what? I just found this out that doctors do not operate in pinches.
They don't.
Pinch there, pinch here.
A pinch there. just a squimsh.
Squimsh. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what has transpired? Even though I know, obviously.
Yeah, so I started out having stage 3 breast cancer. I still have stage 3 breast cancer, as far as they know. Dot, dot, dot. Dun, dun, dun.
Very exciting.
but my treatment path, which we were all optimistic would be 5 months of chemotherapy followed by double mastectomy, and then I would not need to do any further treatment. Well, after surgery, they found that the cancer had actually grown throughout chemotherapy.
I don't understand.
Yeah, me neither. And it was so much, it was so like, oh, well, they know what they're doing. I won't change my diet. Just let the doctors handle it or change whatever holistic, you know, method that people claim can assist in, you know, cancer recovery. And so they can't yet call it a stage 4 cancer because we don't know if that's what it is because I haven't had scans. But at this point, I go through radiation, I get scans. If it's somewhere else in my body, it would be considered stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not anywhere else in my body upon scans, I will be in remission. So it's just a waiting game at this point.
So fun.
Just a pinch, though.
Yeah, just a pinch, a dash. But, like, somebody went back. Somebody didn't know that somebody had already put a dash in, and there was, like, 5 people that were like, I don't think they put any salt in this.
Too much cumin. Too much cumin.
And the... You don't mind getting...
No, let's do it.
Real.
Just skip it. I have no nipples.
She's got no nipples. I've seen them. Not as weird as you think.
Not as weird.
But the surgery was hard, no?
It was a very difficult surgery. I had a double mastectomy, so they removed all of the tissue from my breast, chest.
It ended up, it went from a breast to a chest.
It was like a breast.
Jeez. Now back to breast. Jeez.
And so they remove all of the tissue, and then I had immediate reconstruction, meaning that while I was open, they just threw some implants under my pectoral muscles.
Under her pectoral muscles. Let that sink in, everybody. Like, the muscles were lifted.
Lifted.
And now her tits are hard as rocks because pectoral muscles are atop her implants.
So they are just what you imagine, as hard and foreign as an implant, except for extra because I have no tissue whatsoever, except for a cute little air bubble that we recently found this weekend above my right breast. It's like a pocket.
It's really the least we have to worry about at this moment.
Yeah.
Did it feel like... Did it feel like it got very overwhelming very quickly, like, around the surgery and stuff? Or do you feel like you already were sort of just like, well, here we go?
I was, like, prepared for the surgery. It's kind of like when you're pregnant and in the beginning you're like, how is this thing going to get out of my body? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, you're like, I don't care how it gets out. Just, I'm ready to have it out of my body. It's, yeah, like, very similar. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
I was scared to have surgery. And then I was like, well, this is the final piece. Like, let's do it. Smile on my face. And even after surgery, it was a difficult recovery because it limited my mobility of my arms more than I anticipated. And, you know, I was kind of just like chugging along until it got to the pathology where I was just awaiting to hear that I was in remission. Yeah. So I think when I found out that I was not yet in remission is when things got a little dark and a little discouraging and I started to feel a little cancery.
Yeah. Understandably. Since you'd just been through fucking how many months of chemo? Hmm. 5 months of chemo.
5 months of chemotherapy.
And you're like, wait, my cancer's exactly the same as it was, but I lost all my hair. I don't understand.
Yeah. So what the chemo did, it obliterated my tumor. I had a 2.5-inch tumor in my left breast. It got completely rid of that. It did nothing in my lymph nodes. So how that happens, I'm not sure. Like, how it can respond to one area and not the other, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But that's what happened, was that it actually grew from 4 lymph nodes to 12 lymph nodes.
In the course of treatment.
Yeah.
What the fuck, cancer?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I literally know nothing, but...
Welcome to Cancer College.
But, like,
Dolores Turnbow, Esquire.
Wait, that's a Esquire, yes. Precisely. But I guess... Like, does it make sense that while fighting it, it's like the cancer being this life of its own would, like, spread out into other areas, like, trying to get away from the treatment or something? Like, does that make sense?
Well, kind of what I figure,
yeah,
with my no medical degree.
She's been doing the research, though, unlike me. I'm just like, that makes sense.
So, what I think I thought about cancer before I had cancer was that cancer is always an emergency. Mm. And that, yeah, if they think that you have cancer, they throw you into a room and they do tests on you 24 hours a day until they figure it out. And then they just are right on the job. And that in my experience...
So it's not that? Because I think it's that too.
It's not an emergency. It took, from my first doctor's appointment to my official diagnosis, was 25 days. So I, and then it was an additional 14 days until I had my first session of chemotherapy. So I think that potentially somewhere in that early 25 days to that, you know, later first session, it possibly could have grown during that time.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't something that they were monitoring because they had already done tests on it.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is probably most likely to have happened, is that it just grew rapidly and aggressively.
And then maybe the chemo, like, kept it...
from getting worse.
At bay.
Right. But maybe it had already spread during the, yeah, diagnosis period. So it's not, I mean...
I'm like, isn't that malpractice? Shouldn't they have kept tabs on it? Like...
And I'm very lucky because right away, I mean, right away, I felt like everyone took the potential of it being there very seriously. And I think in a lot of other kinds of cancers, it's a very, abstract, like, diagnosis. It's very difficult sometimes to tell if somebody has a different kind of a cancer. I think breast cancer, for me at least, was like, we think that you have this and now you have to go for 25 days of tests, you know? But like somebody that has like colon cancer or something, they might just be in pain for like a significant amount of time before it's taken like to a biopsy level.
Yeah.
You know, so to think about if mine was that aggressive that it potentially could have grown that much within, you know, a week span or so. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's so scary.
It is.
As we're sitting here like eating shoving donuts into our face, being like, sugar's the devil. It's definitely going to kill us all. But it's so good.
Cancer's going to kill us all eventually, but not this year.
According to my dad. That's a quote from Paul Martineau, everybody.
I don't think I knew his name was Paul.
A real uplifter. Mine and Patrick's dads are both named Paul, as is Patrick's brother. And they have the same initials, PJ. Telling you, there's probably incest at some point. Woo!
Your dad's name Paul, too?
I mean, they're like opposite sides of the same coin, like both very... We digress, but important nonetheless. Both of the Pauls are pretty introverted men that don't have a lot of friends, whereas my dad's a bit more of a flaming queen, and Patrick's dad is, like, fixing farm equipment.
The strong and silent type.
But they both most likely suffer from depression and, and, like, have a hard time communicating their feelings and being affectionate. So it's, like, pretty much the same thing.
They're the same person.
He fixes tractors. My dad cooks, you know? It's, like, they're both just, like, doing things with their hands to, like, deal with their lives. Pauls, everybody. Anyway.
Know any Pauls?
Know any Pauls?
Do they act like now?
Do they act like this? We've got the Paul for you. Anyway, back to your cancer.
By the way, I think it's worth mentioning that at a white elephant gift exchange, if you say I have cancer, then no one will take your gift. They'll feel way too guilty about it.
And she was definitely milking it. I also love, like, obviously all the people at your work were comfortable joking about it, but, like, that one guy that we were, like, obsessed with how terrible he seemed, he definitely, like, I was getting a sense, which I could have just been projecting on him, but I was getting the sense that he, like, did not know what to make of us, just being like, she has cancer!
He's like, but does she? I don't know. Yeah. She has really long hair.
He's like, I'm organizing my bullets, like, whatever. Real red state situation. Real Guy Fieri red state situation.
Everybody there was, like, pretty representative of what I, you know, like to think of Arizona being. Like, liberal or...
creative.
Edgy.
Yeah. Tattoos. Whatever.
And then... was his name Paul?
Phil.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
So close.
Is that an apostle name, too? I don't know. Maybe. You're the Christian one. I don't fucking know.
I've never read the Bible, though.
Your kids go to Christian day. I gotta stop hitting this table. Patrick's gonna be like, ugh, there's so much noise. I'm just very expressive with my hands.
Much like a Paul.
Much like a Paul, except they're not expressing themselves while verbally expressing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Very different.
Speaking of expressing themselves, this is good.
Which I really parlayed.
We were just talking the other night about how we both are very, like, open book type of people, and we get a lot personally out of sharing our experiences with other people. We like connecting with other people over things that we've been through, and cancer has been no different for you. So I just wanted to know if you wanted to, like, share a little bit about, like, what truly sharing your experience on social media and being really public about, like, what's going on, and also you finding out, like, talking to people that you knew that, like, had cancer and, like, you didn't even know and they never shared it with people, and just sort of, like, your experience and how you think about that sort of stuff.
Well, I feel like, I mean, as you said, I am a very open book. I'm not a very shy person. And so it just never occurred to me to hide this because I just don't do that. And I'm not a good faker. You know, like people can read on my face if I'm trying to fake something. And
that's where we really connect.
That's where we really
relate and identify. Yes.
So it never occurred to me to keep it from people. Especially from like my clientele, and I'm a hairstylist, and I work independently, and I have a lot of like local clientele that I've connected with on social media. And my first initial, I think, reason for sort of like coming out on Facebook and Instagram with it was just to notify my clients in a way that would allow them to, I guess, just to notify them that I'm going to need some flexibility coming up, you know, just to be like a blanket term that's just like, hey guys, this is going on right now. So if I'm less available, I'm sorry, but it's literally the best reason ever. So don't.
Like, I don't care about your fucking bridal hair. I've goddamn cancer. Okay?
I got cancer.
Your updo can wait.
So I think that was helpful. I also think it was really overwhelming because I found a lot of people that were like, wanted to help out and wanted to assist me. And I didn't really know how to direct people to help me, mm-hmm. you know? So, but one thing I did do was I had a woman reach out to me almost immediately that said, I just got diagnosed with breast cancer too, and I haven't really told anybody. And, you know, seeing you come out about it, it sort of inspired me to like tell more people. And then I watched her sort of like share her story a bit more publicly, not quite as publicly as me.
Well, we can all have goals.
But
it's like grad school level sharing.
But I really loved watching her story unfold. And there's actually like a huge community of women on Instagram that are very supportive of each other, and we find each other through, you know, the hashtags, and then we're able to bounce diagnosis off each other or ask about surgeries, or it's been almost kind of like a support group that way. I've also had some people tell me that this happening to me so close to home motivated them to get in a little bit sooner for their own self-care checks. And I've had three women reach out to me recently that all had lumps. Two of them turned out to be non-cancerous. One did turn out to be cancerous. They caught it at stage two. So,
wow.
Hopefully, you know, it doesn't progress any further there. But it made me feel useful, and it also made me feel really connected. And I mean, we'll talk about the hair thing next, but I think we had discussed that it, if I hadn't been so open about it, I would have missed out on experiences where I was able to connect with people that either are new to the process or seasoned in the process, or just wouldn't be able to connect with them that way because they wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
And that's like really how I felt, you know, walking around being bald, which I didn't do all the time. I mean, I would wear a scarf at work mostly because even though my own clientele knew what I was going through, I didn't want to be like the talk of the salon. I didn't want other people's clients to feel like, well, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. Or I just didn't want to be the topic of conversation, which is rare.
She doesn't want to be the topic of conversation for the wrong conversations. Exactly. For conversations that she's not like in control of. You don't want to be the topic.
Exactly. But I had, you know, a lot of times when I was not working, 95% of the time, I would walk around bald, and I had, I would say at least five, probably more experiences of women coming up to me saying, I'm a survivor, like, hang in there, give me like offer words of encouragement. And it almost got to the point where one week I had like three women all within a matter of a few days. And I just really felt like it was some kind of a sign that was like, you know, just keep going. Like it's getting hard, but just keep going because, you know, people are being put in your path now to tell you that like they've been through it and there's like another side to it. And I feel like I can't say, I mean, it's Arizona. It was summer. It was hot. I wasn't going to wear a wig all the time.
Yeah, of course.
But I felt like if I had done that, I would have robbed myself of that experience too. And I know that's like, I mean, the hair thing is a really individual journey for people. Mm-hmm. Like it can be really scary for someone who's used to having hair to like not have hair anymore.
Yeah.
And very fear, like fearful of what kind of reactions you'll get. And yeah, somebody called me sir last week and yeah, a little,
which is fucking insane, by the way. Like there, I'm sorry. No, like that was it a blind person that didn't hear you? And they were just like, I hear footsteps, sir. Hello?
Is that
sir?
A clump?
That's a clump.
You like farted near them and they were like, sir?
I actually had a little girl at the gym come up to me and at the pool, and she asked me, she was probably 9, and she said, are you a boy or a girl? And I said, well, these cans.
You're like, take a look at these.
Like, what's my audience?
And then you just motorboated her. And she hasn't been back to the pool since.
That's the whole thing. So, and I told her, I said, oh, well, I'm a girl. And she was like, oh, okay. And she walked away. And then her mother came up to me and she's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, she has some developmental delays and would you mind? Aww. She's like, I had cancer also. I didn't lose my hair. And she's like, but would you mind just like giving her sort of like a light definition or like explanation of what's going on? And I did. And the girl, it was actually like another really special moment.
That's so nice.
It was really nice. And I think I was met with that far more than I was ever met with like judgment or guffaws.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course. I mean, you
cancer.
Would hope.
What are they going to say?
Well, and then if they do make fun of you, you're like, I have cancer. Like, that's, you know, end of conversation.
A lot of people actually thought I did it, but just for style, you know?
Well, because you are a risk taker, as we know.
I mean, maybe that's why I was not afraid to lose my hair.
Well, because what was it when you were 18 or 19? You like
shaved my head.
Shaved your head.
Also wore wigs immediately. Regretted that decision. Much preferred being bald this time to that time.
Really?
Yeah. Right. I was much more confident in it now.
Well, that's just a testament to age and experience, right?
I think so.
God, 18, 19. Fucking forget it. Jesus.
I just had no idea that my head was that small. It was always hiding behind all this hair.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
A real wake-up call, but I've slimmed down a little.
Your head has slimmed down
a little. My body is matching my head a little bit.
Oh, I see. Well, I think, you know, Patrick and I have talked about this too, where like we are just people that I think have, I mean, stop me if you want me to, but we met somewhere where people share their experience, strength, and hope to get to know each other. And that has been something that it just really works for me. And it sounds like you, where it's like identifying with other people and like hearing their story is very helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's something that's come out of that.
And we can always edit that out if you don't actually
no,
put
I don't
that
care.
Together.
Okay. I don't care. But I do think that the idea that we all have this story that we might not know about each other. And if we talked more openly about our stories, we might connect on deeper levels. And that goes for so many things. I mean, even
for
like
everything, I think.
Even like political divide. I think if we were to take politics off of the table and we were to try to connect with people on different levels, I feel like we might have a lot more compassion and patience for each other if we didn't know who everybody voted for.
I know.
maybe that could be, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's also like, I can have compassion for people that are like willing to have a conversation and listen. But if you like can't listen and you're just like so far up your own asshole, then like, I have a very hard time having compassion. However, those are the people that probably need compassion the most. But I'm not a fucking Buddha, okay? I'm doing the best I can. I recognize that they need compassion. I'm just not...
We're not there yet.
I'm not there yet.
It's okay.
Heading towards enlightenment, hopefully.
But I do think that, like, you know, connecting with people on a deeper level is really only available to people who are willing to share about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I think, like... I mean, I'm not a shy person, and I don't know what that perspective is like, but...
I mean, that's what we were saying. We were just like, what is that life? Like, we have no idea because we've just always been this way. I'm like, this is what's going on. Does anybody relate? Like, since I was little.
Very direct. Typically direct, as my brother would say.
Oh, that was your brother's sister.
That was typically direct.
Oh, can you please share what you texted your mother the other day?
Oh, God. As long as she never hears this.
I mean, does she even know what podcasts are? It's fine. She's not listening, I promise.
She's not listening, so.
She's not. It's going to be okay.
So my mom was having a reclusive moment.
Which we can all relate to.
Oh, 1,000%.
I mean, who doesn't live a recluse?
And, you know, I just sort of barked that there was 3 minimum things that any one of us should be doing on any given day. And that would be open your blinds, put your bra on, and get your mail. And, like, you're a functioning part of humanity if you can do those 3 things every day.
I don't think I've ever heard those 3 things as being, like, things to do. Maybe also because, like, I don't have breasts that necessarily need a bra, like, to go out into the world. But I really love those as 3 things. Open your blinds, put on a bra, get your mail.
Get your mail.
Get your mail.
And call it a day if you want. At least you've done those.
And she did that, right?
Yeah, she did. She did. Yeah.
I bet she probably felt better, too, as much as she didn't want to acknowledge it.
I just feel like, I mean, regardless of those 3 things actually being useful, I feel like getting your mail gets you out of the house, mm-hmm. if ever so briefly.
Even if it's just opening the goddamn door.
Gets you out into...
But hers does actually make her walk,
yes,
right?
Yes, you have to go a little short jaunt. You know, opening your blinds just allows the daylight in, which always cheers me up. I'm not a blinds drawn person.
Well, and I mean, I know for me, blinds drawn equals, like, old school drug addict move. Yeah. I'm like, no!
Triggering. To say the least.
I'm like, do you have a room with no windows? Because that would be ideal.
And putting your bra on just means that should you have a surprise guest or should you need to go somewhere in a hurry, you're ready.
A little self-respect, you know?
Like, you're ready.
You're ready to go.
So it's not so much about those 3 things. It's about what those 3 things can do for you.
It's true. And, I mean, it's the old adage of move a muscle, change a thought, right?
Is that pronounced adage or is it adage? I have always thought it was adage. It's like the Palette Collective.
It is like the Palette Collective, which I think is Palette Collective, but I mean...
It doesn't have the same ring.
Palette Collective is more of like a da-da-da-da.
I like. The Palette Collective.
Palette Collective. I like adage. Maybe I'll start saying the old adage.
Well, I always thought it was. What? How did you say it?
Adage. I don't know. I mean, I'm from New England. I feel like
it's the keto diet has been coming up a lot lately.
What the fuck is that?
Or is it keto?
Well, I've never heard of either. So.
It's the all meat and cheese diet. It's basically
well, that's only gonna kill people too.
Basically the new Atkins diet, actually
people stop dieting, please.
It's supposed to be really good for cancer.
Eating dairy and meat.
I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but supposedly it can. There's something about, I think it's because it's so low sugar and they think that cancer is responsive.
But it's also about eating, like,
glucose.
The right meat
And I mean, I don't think it's like the Atkins where they're like, eat bacon all day.
Or like, just go buy any fucking burger and like, fry it up and you're good to go. Like, you probably need to get...
It actually is very oil heavy.
But I mean, in terms of like, processed meat. Like, go get your grass-fed, your fucking antibiotic-free shit.
Yeah, I think it's basically like, you can... It's mostly about eliminating sugar, which... You know,
but you
eliminating carbohydrates eliminates sugar.
But it's like those sorts of things are just so dangerous to me because I feel like to not even talk about, I'm sure they do talk about vegetables, but people are dumb and they'll be like, oh, meat and cheese, great. Like, I don't need to eat a fucking vegetable ever. And it's like,
they do talk a lot about vegetables.
I'm sure they do.
There is a lot of vegetables that are surprisingly high in carbohydrates.
Right.
And so they talk about which vegetables to not eat.
Right.
And which vegetables to eat.
Well, there's also, I've been told I can't eat nightshades.
Tomatoes.
Because of the acidity peppers. Of them.
Is it peppers?
I think peppers are in there too. Yeah, that's because fun.
How do you go to an Italian restaurant?
I mean, I do. I just don't listen. I eat them.
And but, then she's doubled over the toilet wondering what went wrong.
But I do notice that I am very sensitive to, like, acidic things. So, I mean, if you guys really want to get into my digestion.
We've been talking about probiotics all
time. Oh, my God. Digestion is just at the top of my learning curve here. I'm like, I need help. I need to learn how to eat properly.
Oh, yeah,
digestion. All I eat is dairy and sugar. I guess I am blessed with a high metabolism, but that does not mean that it is not affecting my body in a number of other horrid ways. What's the old adage?
I swear it's adage.
As I'm looking at these like beautiful posters that Dolores has in her house of fruit and vegetables, I'm like, oh, all the colors, so beautiful.
You know, we just love an educational opportunity in this house.
I love an anatomical drawing of like fruit, vegetables, flowers.
Gems.
Oh, give it to me.
Gemstones.
Give me anatomical drawings, cacti. But not of a human. Only of like beautiful things.
I used to have a pop-up full-size human anatomy.
Of course you did.
Poster.
With your like buzzed head and you're like trying on wigs and there's like a fucking...
And he was a fascinating creature and he would stick right on my door. And he was 3D, so he actually like...
But now you probably know more about the human body while you're going through this process.
Me, look at that thing. Let me tell you.
You're like, man, the lungs are like crazy.
It's like half bone and half muscle.
Is there anything else we want to talk about in regards to cancer before we just like really go off the rails? Well, I guess it's interesting to talk about, like, you know, as we've talked about in our video, Who Cares with You? You have two small children. Two and three, which is crazy. Birdie and Freddie, who are so fucking cute. And I've been getting all sorts of cuddles this weekend. That's been really, really nice. And considering that you have two toddlers, they're not as insane as two toddlers growing up together could be. You guys have a pretty good system worked out with them.
I mean, there's a lot of yelling from all of us.
From all sides. But they seem very happy and they like each other and they love you guys. And yes. Like, they seem very content.
Yes, I think that they are happy children.
They
are. They have a good upbringing.
I'm here to tell you, you've got happy children.
I think the conflict in our house comes from, like, we are all alpha personalities.
That's very true.
We have four different alpha personalities.
Even Birdie is kind of showing her alpha, isn't she?
Which means that come Halloween, there's just no theme costumes going on. We all are like, no, I'm definitely going as what I want. But it can make for a little chaos, but I do think that they are happy kids. And I think that they, in spite of all of this, have been, you know, I can't wait to be healthy and to like show them like that I have energy again and, you know, do fun things and live life to the fullest.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you still are.
I still am.
You know?
I think that the kids do sense. They have a lot of intuition.
Of course.
In regards to, like, how healthy somebody is or isn't energy-wise. But I was shocked, like, after my surgery when I came home which I should not have been home.
Don't even get me started. I was so fucking pissed. I, like, could not believe you were... She was back home 24 hours after her tits were lobbed off, and then she had fake ones slammed in there.
24 hours. I think I only even got, like, 3 shots of morphine. I mean, it was just...
My mom had more pills and more attention and more everything for knee replacement. Yeah, okay?
It's crazy. And when I came home from the hospital and they came home from school and they saw me and they just knew to not climb on me. They knew to not be rough. They knew I couldn't pick them up for 6 weeks. They couldn't sit on me for 6 weeks. I mean, it was a real game changer because, as you know, my daughter is like...
Attached to you?
A lap dog.
It's the best.
And that was hard, but they did really well. They didn't cry about it. They didn't whine about it. They just had this sort of, like, deeper understanding that, like, this is just what we have to do right now.
That's so sweet.
It really made it a lot easier. So thank you, Fred and Bird.
Aw. They really are such sweet little angels.
They really are. Unless there's no yogurt in the house.
Or if Birdie touches Freddie's car, then we're in for a real treat. Still getting to the bottom of sharing, but, you know, siblings bring that out in each other. Well, I've had such a nice time here with you.
I wish you could just buy a winter home.
I mean, maybe. We'll see how it goes.
If the market crashes, I'll call you.
Yeah. I'm like, where would I want to live, though, is the question. Like, do I want to be in Scottsdale? Do I want to be like, no.
I would say Phoenix or Tempe.
Okay.
Phoenix has a lot to offer as far as, like, amenities and lots of cute things.
I just got to find some work here, maybe, so that, not that I need a reason beyond you to come here. I think, I mean, May and now December, that's pretty good.
I mean, she's here just about as often as Connecticut.
It's true.
Everybody settle in. I'll get Amy to open a coffee shop here.
Man, if you had your way.
I am still working on it.
I'm like, if you hear anything about e-com styling happening here in Arizona, let me know. I'll be done in a second.
So this will be great because I don't like to travel, really.
But at the same time, I told you, so my plan is to do yoga teacher training in April.
Yes.
And so then, once I'm licensed, then I'll come down here to Yoga of the People. Ooh. And be like, a professional's here.
Yes, God.
I'm like throwing so much shade at a lovely studio.
There would be a lot of work here.
Oh, for sure. There's like a million yoga studios down here. But that could be fun. Anywho.
Could be a yoga floater.
I'm trying to be a yoga teacher / podcaster and really dive into the, like, 1 year of millennial that I have. Like, I think I'm at the tail end, so just trying to live my...
Get it all in before she graduates.
Just trying to get in my multi-hyphenate truth, you know? I'm like, oh, now I'm this, now I'm this, now I'm this. I don't have to settle on anything. We'll see.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know what my generation is called.
I think they kind of lost steam after Gen X. It was like nothing really stuck.
I'm something after that, but before millennial.
I think Gen Y, but that didn't really stick,
yeah,
I don't think.
Maybe Gen Y. Why
there's they- also something that people, this is going to be riveting, but there's something that I read an article about Xennial, which is, you were born in 77, right?
Yes.
I think it's 77 to 83 were considered this like microgroup that like our experience is different than everyone else somehow, which of course, like, I love to hear that. It's like, yes, I am different, you're right.
So that I get to like feel
like we remember pre-internet and like we very much like lived a life without all the technology.
Oh,
that
I was
exists.
Paying my own rent by the time AOL chat rooms came out.
Well, that makes me think that Gen X Gen X. Because I was only 11 when we got the internet.
Woof.
But like cell phones, I mean, I didn't have a fucking cell phone until I was a senior in college.
It's like, how did you get the internet first?
Yeah, we were the first. Like, we were the first, like, people in the entire country.
I feel like that would have made it 94.
Yeah.
Is that when the internet came out?
I mean, it came out before that. But I don't think 17 Sherman Street, New London, Connecticut was like, we were like hot on the heels of the internet. However,
I don't think I had the internet until around maybe 97.
Okay.
So maybe I was just late to the internet game.
Well, it was also because my mom was a teacher, and so we got like teacher deals, like the high school that she taught at, like we were able to get like
so you
a
got it
new
first, like I said.
We got it first. Dial up AOL. My AOL screen name was RedRaz327. I still have a friend from high school who calls me that.
Oh my god, I saw something recently where people were talking about what if we all had to go by our AOL usernames.
Oh my
I was
god.
Like, I still use mine.
Well, because yours is good. Go ahead, share it.
Viva La Della. It's supposed to stand for Long Live the Dolores.
It's so good. Viva La Della is really good. And frankly, you don't have to put a number on it.
That would...
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when people put numbers on the end of their username, I just assume it's the year that they were born. But I'm finding that often it's not, and I'm wondering why people are doing that.
I mean, it could... Numbers can mean a number of things.
But I think it should only mean the year you were born.
I get that. But then it's like a child who has like 25 or something at the end of their name. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, this is riveting.
But like, if you're going to put like Cherry Bear 84, but you're really born in
Cherry
like...
Cherry Bear.
You're really born in like 1975. Like, who are you fooling?
I really like that... Like, why mine was RedRaz327 is because in seventh grade, when screen names were all a buzz, everybody was really into just quite literal fruits. Like, other people were like, grape soda. And, like, so I was just like, okay, that's what we're doing. We're doing fruits. We're doing
RedRaz.
I'm like, okay, this is the world that we're in, and it's like...
Where do the numbers come from? What's 237?
That's just what AOL assigned me, because there were fucking 326 other Red Razzes. So sad. So sad. Not even original. 326 other Red Razzes.
For some reason, my username is so unique that I don't even have to put the @gmail.com on the end of my Facebook to log in.
Well, that's because it remembers you.
Because I'm the only one.
Okay. Sure. Uh-huh. That's nice.
I mean, it has been 20 years so I've had that username.
Should we wrap it up now that we've delved into usernames? Okay, should we talk about how people get Rossed?
Yes, we definitely should. So we came up with a segment where...
Who have I Rossed recently?
She Rossed a yoga teacher the other day.
I did.
Please explain.
The poor woman. I just... Which this has to do with our directness that we were talking about. You know, I just get frustrated when I feel like people are not as direct or clear as they could be. I definitely struggle with people being unclear. That's something that's very frustrating to me. But I don't give people a lot of room for error. But I also feel like as a teacher... That's something that maybe you should really focus on. And if you are struggling with being unclear, acknowledgement will get you everywhere with me. Like, if you're just like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm struggling with, like, getting this across to you. Great, done. Love you now. I love you now. But if you're just like, this is how I teach, I don't know what I'm saying, and I'm, like, misspeaking all the time and, like, not explaining poses, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing as a yoga teacher?
You got wrong.
So this poor woman was standing next to me, asking me to do some pose I've literally never seen. And I'm like, so is my heel up? Is it down? Are my hips facing forward? Like, what is this? I didn't say it at full volume because she was right next to me, but I definitely like said it in a normal speaking voice, like in the class. And she was like, your leg can be bent or straight. And I was like, well, those are two different poses. So which one are you teaching us? She got Rossed.
You got Rossed.
I also Rossed the crowd at that boat parade
night. They got Logan'd.
They got Logan'd first, and then I side-saddled. And I was like, do not come for them. You've been Logan'd. You've been Rossed. And Dolores is like, can we get the fuck out of here?
I was already halfway to the car.
And she was like, you two can fight your own goddamn battles.
I did have to tell, like, a remarkable amount of 60-plus-year-olds to get off my stroller, so...
There was a lot of people... It was, like, a real group think
mob mentality where people were just like, we're entitled. We can stand where we want and put our hands anywhere. And they didn't want to move for a double stroller with toddlers. And so I said, after Logan yelled at them, they've got unhappy toddlers. Enjoy your boats.
Enjoy your boats.
I'm really excited about that enjoy your boats line. I feel like it just shamed them in a way that they all had to go home and think about it.
By the way, these boats.
Yeah, let's talk about these boats.
I mean, when I really...
It was a Christmas boat parade.
It was a Christmas boat parade, so there were boats going around the lake that were covered in Christmas lights.
Which is like a man-made lake, right? Or is it real?
It's a man-made lake.
It's a man-made lake in Arizona boat parade. So already we're like at a
there's no sailboats. There's no channel to the ocean. Like... We're talking like little boats, like rowboats.
And people are like crammed up against to watch.
We're just so desperate to get the kids out of the
house.
It was
cute.
The holiday
spirit.
It was
cute. Sure.
But when I really think about the quality of boats going down there, like it is a little embarrassing to think about how desperately so many thousands of us were crowded up against the side of the lake.
Which is why I shamed them. And said, enjoy your boats.
Enjoy your rowboats.
I'm like, I'm from Connecticut and we had a fucking sail team. Okay? I've never been sailboating, but...
Seattle has these, like, boat parades that are just glorious.
Yeah, like real boats.
With yachts and sailboats.
Enjoy your...
Tempe, Arizona does not have
Enjoy your boats, Tempe.
No one's bringing a yacht to Tempe Town Lake.
Ugh, everyone's wearing fleece. I'm like, it's 60 degrees outside.
It was freezing. Don't be fooled.
Enjoy your winter, quote unquote, and your boats, quote unquote.
Don't be fooled. It is cold.
Well, on that note, on that high note, I love you so friggin' much.
I love it when you put that on like recording.
I'll put it on recording for the rest of our lives, okay? You truly feel like my sister.
I know.
Like,
sorry, Dave.
I mean, your whole love of... I'm not even getting into it. There's still a chance. No, I just truly feel like your family, and I love that we're, like, chosen family for each other.
And I love that, like, we've actually gotten to know each other's family. It's like you met my mother while you were here. She met Peg.
Yep.
Me and Jonesy really hit it off at the wedding.
That's true.
And
oh my
when
God.
I got cancer, me and Jonesy was team Dolores.
My mom is obsessed with you.
That's great. I love it.
All it took was one interaction, but like social media, she's like living for you.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like when you can get actual families to connect like that, it's a different level of friendship. It's really special.
It's true. I was sending them kid videos. I was sending my mom and my brother videos of your children. They were like, oh my God, they're so cute. Yeah, it's... Chosen family. Mm-hmm. People, that's another topic I'll speak to at a later date.
Another podcast.
Sometimes you gotta choose your family, okay?
We'll phone that one in.
We'll phone that in. Next time I'm in Arizona, we can unpack it. I love you.
Love you.
Thank you for chatting with
me. Love you too, Patricia.
Oh, yes. Patricia, also known as Patrick, you're missed. And you can comment on this later, I guess. Love you, bye.
Well, you two are two peas in a pod. That was hilarious.
I mean...
I could listen to you. Maybe she should take my job.
Couple of crazy peas and one crazy pod.
There was some genius riffing in there.
It just comes naturally to the both of us, you know? I mean, we were actually just realizing it too, which you... I don't know, maybe we didn't talk about it, but... She was only in New York for a couple of years.
Yeah.
She's been in Arizona for like 6 years.
Longer than she was here.
Yeah. And we're just, you know, we're kindred spirits.
I mean, she's one of those amazing people that you meet them and they're hilarious and amazing and they like impact you right away, you know? So
she is.
Yeah. If she was only here a few years, it's no mistake that you became close with her.
But like I too impacted her.
Oh yeah. It was reciprocal.
Like, I am a very special person in her life.
Yes, she's having this same exact podcast conversation with her podcast
co-host. She's clinging
to
our friendship.
Yeah, she can't believe that she only knew you for that amount of time.
She actually said right before I left, she was like, I really wish you weren't leaving. And I was like, yeah, I know.
I know.
You can't live without me.
You two are planning, like, real estate deals, you moving out there. I do want to chime in on a couple things. It is adage The old adage.
Oh, yes. Is how you say but that isn't word. It fun to say adage?
Oh, adage. It's the best. And then what was the other one?
You know the old adage.
And then what was the other one? Color palette?
Palette. It's definitely palette, but she likes Palette Collective as opposed to Palette Collective.
Yeah, she should start a podcast and call it the Palette Collective.
Sure. Dolores, did you get that note?
Anyway, we do love Dolores. You can see her in a video we made on YouTube under the original Who Cares.
That's which, right.
Back when it was a video series, we shot with her back in May. So I like that we've got this sort of documentary going about what's
Dolores
happening
is the,
in her life.
The biggest guest on the Who Cares series.
Yeah, this is her second appearance on Who Cares.
So the bottom line is get a serious illness and we will feature you.
Mm-hmm. That's the only
but
requirement.
But also be funny though. Yeah. Like you better be funny about your serious illness.
Funny, charming, and sick. That's what we need.
Yeah. Those are the three. Also the important three to remember. Put on a bra.
Oh yeah. Check your mail.
Hold on. Put on a bra, open your blinds, check your mail.
Yeah, that was great.
Wasn't that great?
I was listening to that because you sent me the file, and I was listening to that in like 3 p.m, sitting in my boxer shorts, the blinds fully shuttered. I've been editing video all morning, all day, alone in this hellhole of an apartment.
Uh-huh.
We have a beautiful apartment.
It's not a hellhole.
But my mood turned it into a hellhole.
That's right. All it takes.
And I realized, oh my God, I need to put my bra on.
And so you did.
I did. I opened the blinds. I checked the mail. And the neighbor's like, who's this guy in a bra?
And you're like, I'm out, baby.
Here I am, baby.
World, accept me or fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Real Francis McDormand about it.
Hell yeah. Bitch on wheels.
Any closing statements?
I just keep thinking about you as bitch on wheels and like how you approach life. Because sometimes you do just say fuck you and do your thing and live your dream and live your truth. I need to channel my inner Francis McDormand / Ross Aaron Martineau.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because last night when we were driving, you picked me up from a gig last night. We're driving home. You sparked up a cigarette, rolled down the windows. It was bitter cold outside. And you just looked so sexy. And I just had this moment of like, yeah, my wife is so hot and so sexy. She takes one puff of a cigarette, flicks it out the window, and it just explodes every time. Like, I just pictured you as like this comic book character. And I'm like, that's my bitch on wheels right there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I really like that. That's what I'm going for. So,
yeah, you got the buzz cut, you got the bangs.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like business in the back with the undercut. But then I'm like here to have a good time with the bangs, mm-hmm, with the 80s bangs. But also like don't fucking cross me because I'm like lighting cigarettes, setting shit on fire.
Yeah, and I will run you over with this 4-cylinder Kia Sorento.
Kia Sorento. A Kia Sorento.
Come on, everybody. It's a Kia Sorento.
Another one of our hits. Tune in.
That came out in summer 2016 when we bought the Kia Sorento, originally called the Kia Compromise.
That's right. Kia Compromise.
Because we were compromising on that vehicle.
That's right. Isn't everyone compromising in a Kia?
Yep. Anyway. Thanks for listening to episode 3 of Who Cares. We really appreciate everybody that gives us positive feedback, nice things to say. It makes us want to keep doing it. So if you're enjoying the show, tell a friend, send Ross a text. Or
also, subscribe, write us a review, yeah. Let us know you're listening. Those sorts of things help us.
Yeah, all those things that you think you should be doing, just do it. Just do it.
Like
it'll
literally all the things that you think you should be doing, including bra, blinds, mail.
Yes, check your mail, check your bra, open your bra. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, thanks guys. Right. Bye.
Love you.
Who do you love?
Everybody. Bye guys.
Maybe that's the ending. It's me being like bang bang.